Romans chapter 14 is where we left off last week. You recall we ended in verse 13. We're talking about not being a stumbling block. And the question, you know, that was brought up by some of the people in Paul's day in chapter 14 was, well, do we eat meat or do we not eat meat? Do we drink wine or do we not drink wine? And people were being caused to stumble because of this, because they didn't know what to do. Some, it was wrong for them to eat meat. And others, it was okay for them to eat meat, especially if it was sacrificed to idols. In those days, they had temple idol worship where they would kill the meat and sacrifice it to their idol, and then they'd turn around and sell it. And some Christians felt that they were free in Christ to eat that, because what's that to me? I'm not dedicating that to any idol. It doesn't affect me one bit. It's just a piece of meat. And then there was others that the Bible calls the weaker Christians that felt like, oh, that's a sacrifice to an idol. I can't eat that. I don't want to defile myself. And we talked about how to eat or not to eat, it doesn't matter. To observe the day, as some observe the days rather than others that didn't reserve the days. And every day is the same in Christ, and how some struggled with that. And basically it was, don't become a stumbling block. Because of love, don't cause your neighbor to stumble. If you want to eat meat and someone feels like it's not right, whether it's sacrificed to an idol or not, well then don't eat it in their presence. Don't offend your brother or your sister. If somebody wants to observe a day, I was thinking about that this weekend, and I thought, you know, my birthday. I used to get all excited when my birthday was coming around. And I'm kind of a little bit of a kid, you know, and this was clear till about 5 years ago when I finally thought, it's a day. Before, I'd get all hurt if somebody didn't call me and wish me a happy birthday. And then, you know, or I didn't get a present. Man, I gave them a present last year. As I grew older, it wasn't as important. It was like, it's just a day. It's just a day. What's really important is that I'm walking in Christ. That there was a day that I gave my life to the Lord. My spiritual birthday, that's important. And you see, things start to change with age and hopefully wisdom. And sometimes as Christians, some struggle in an area, be it meat or eat, not to eat, or observe the day or don't observe the day, or, you know, whatever it is. But it seems as you grow older in Christ, you seem to kind of let go of what we seem to call important. That's not at all. The important thing is, are you walking in love? Are you sharing Christ with others? Are you showing Christ's love? That's the key. That's what God is concerned with you and I. I have you in this position because it's a test. It's a trial. God wants us to grow from that. Everything that we go through, hardship or blessings or whatever, God wants us to grow. You're being blessed. Are you going to bless others? You're going through hardship. Are you going to comfort others? It's all designed to help you to grow so that your eyes are off the natural. Well, it's my birthday. It was offered up to idols. I shouldn't eat. It's not about that. It's about becoming like Jesus. Jesus, what was he doing on the Sabbath with all the religiosity around him? He was plucking grain and eating it. Ah, you're harvesting on the Sabbath. That's breaking the law. The Sabbath is for men, not for God, he said. It's so you can rest. You need a break. You see, all these things tie together. And the key we said at the end of last week was giving thanks. And we talked about that one leper who he was healed and how he went back. He saw that he was healed. And we talked, you need to see you're new in Christ. That thing that was killing you, which is leprosy of the spirit, sin, it's killing you. Go to the Lord. Be healed. And once you see that you're healed, if you're born again, then you have certain responsibilities. Read Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. And he returned to God. He glorified God. How? By his actions. He went back to the Lord. He glorified him. He knew the source of his healing was not in the law and walking to the Pharisees and declaring himself healed. It was in Christ. And he glorified God. He fell at his feet and he gave thanks. I often wonder, why did he fall at his feet? Why do you fall at God's feet? When I fall, it's because I can't do it on my own. When the task before me is such that I can't do it by myself, I fall at his feet and I draw strength from him. And it's a humility issue where you let your pride just say, that's it, I'm done. And sometimes in a healing even, I remember when I was healed, I fell at his feet. In gratitude and thanks. And recognizing that I'm a sinner and I don't deserve any of this. And I keep thinking, that must have been, all this stuff must have been going through the leper's mind as he fell at his feet. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't, quote, a Christian. like we call ourselves today. But yet he was walking in the truth. That's the key. You can be a Christian and not walk in the truth. Or you can be a Samaritan and walk in the truth and love the Lord. Can you believe that? It doesn't matter who you are, because God has broken down the middle walls of separation, the Bible says. I have to ask myself, do I live for your glory, Lord? Do I really live for your love? Is everything I do, Father God, to bring you glory? Is everything I do to know your love? Well, then start to treat each other as such. Did you know that God gives us an opportunity? You know, I went to this movie, and it was so interesting. And in the movie, there was a guy portraying God, and he spoke to the man towards the end after all the trials that he'd been through and how silly he looked, you know, doing what God had called him to do, and he stuck to it even though he didn't want to. And it kind of felt like me. Sometimes in ministry, you feel like, God, I just... Yeah. But you do it because God has called you. And at the end, God was talking to him, and he says, you know, what do you expect? You ask for love. Lord, help me to love. Does God give you love? You know, just boop. Okay, now you can love everybody. Then he says, what happens when you ask for patience? Does he just go, boop, you have patience now. What if you need strength? Boop, strength. And he just gives it to you all of a sudden, you know. And he says, no, he doesn't. And it ministered to me. What does he give you? Opportunity. Opportunity to love. You have a situation in your life, and God gives you an opportunity to love that person. You need hope, because hope seems to be far from you at this point. God gives you opportunity. Something comes into your life that steals away all your hope, and God gives you an opportunity for hope. You need strength, and something comes into your life. God allows it into your life so that you could be built up in strength. It's amazing. You need to forgive. God gives you someone to forgive. I mean, how can we forgive one another if we never do anything wrong to one another? Opportunity. Opportunity. God gives us the opportunity to grow in Christ. What if it's restoration? How many of you placed in a position where sometimes God just puts someone there and you need to restore them, and you're doing your best to restore them, and you have opportunity to restore them? All these things that we ask for and we pray for, it comes by way of opportunity. Look for the opportunity to restore, to love, to have hope, to have strength, to grow in wisdom and knowledge and discernment. Look for the opportunities God has given. They're all around us. It says in verse 14 where we left off, I know, am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Speaking of food again, this whole issue that we talked about last week. But to him who considers anything unclean, to him it is unclean. So if you think in our society, you know, our civilized United States, we may think, well, a pig is dirty, but a chicken's not. Why? You know, it's a fowl. I often wonder why they call it fowl. It must be fowl. You know, there's all these different things that we can argue about and talk about. Bottom line is, God says everything is clean. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, read that account. As long as it's prayed over, as long as you pray over it and you dedicate it to the Lord, it's clean. Eat it. Bottom feeders at the sea, lobster, I know they're the rats of the sea, but I like them. I pray over them. I don't want to get sick. But everything is clean, and that's what he's saying. He says to consider, you know, if it's clean to you, it's clean. If it's unclean, then don't eat it. That's fine. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died for. Who am I to say you shouldn't be eating vegetables? It's just not right. They grow up out of the dirt. Don't you know the dirt's dirty? It's not right. It's not kosher. And that's what was going on here. They had certain laws that they were trying to be kosher. Who am I to do that? If you eat vegetables, I wonder if you're really saved. Or do you really love the Lord? Because the Bible says that the fat belongs to the Lord, so I eat a lot of fat. What are you doing? And you see how we can get weird on issues that are non-essentials, have nothing to do with the love of Christ. He says, if you're doing that, don't do it. Don't destroy for food one whom Christ died for. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Doing what you know is right. The Bible says that if you know what to do and don't do it, what is it? sin. It's sin. You know what you have to do, but you don't do it, it's sin. That's walking in righteousness when you do do it. And if you do do it, peace. Peace of God will be upon you because you're walking in righteousness. You're doing what you know you should. And then there's the joy. It'll come to you. You have your walk, which is righteousness, your peace from the Lord, joy from the Lord, all enveloped in the Spirit of God. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Because they'll look at your righteousness, the Bible says, and they'll glorify your Father in heaven, because they'll say, no matter how hard it gets for that person, I can't believe what they're going through, they are doing the right thing. And look at the peace and the joy that they have. Or on the other hand, you can look at them and say, man, if only they'll do the right thing, they could get rid of that grumpiness, the stress that they have on themselves. But the way to get rid of stress is walking in the righteousness of God. Notice it says, these things are acceptable to God. If you do the right thing, he accepts it. He just receives it. You might say, well, yeah, but I've been doing the wrong thing for a year, two, four, nine, whatever. I'm doing the wrong thing and I'm not doing it right. Well, start today. He'll accept it. The Bible says if you draw close to him, he will draw close to you. And approved by men. They'll see your righteousness. They'll see that you're willing to suffer for God's sake and do the right thing. Therefore, let us pursue the things that make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. We talked about that. That's key. Edification one for another. It's all about building up your brethren. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure. It is evil for the man who eats with offense. In other words, lifting your freedom in Christ and looking down your nose at those who aren't there yet, who aren't able to walk in the freedom that you have. You understand, I can do this. I can eat this. I can drink this. Out of love, did you know that I can take a sip of alcohol? The Bible says, don't be drunk. But it doesn't say, don't drink that. It says, don't be drunk. So in my mind, as I read the scripture, I feel I can. But you know that I won't, and you know why. Because I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want someone who struggles with alcohol, and I have many friends who do. Many of them. Who are coming out of the world or still in the world, and how dare I say, well, I'm free in Christ. I'll drink a beer with you. I'm fine. I don't get drunk. But out of love for them, I won't. Because I don't want to tempt them. I don't want to look down my spiritual nose, which I know I'm free in Christ to do. I don't want to do. Because if I offend them or make one of these to stumble, it's better if they tie a millstone around my neck and toss me into the sea. That's what the Word of God says. Don't cause them to stumble. If you're causing anyone to stumble, stop. Go to them. Ask them for forgiveness. It might not be something you're taking internally, but maybe something you're speaking externally. Because the Bible says that it's not what goes in the body that defiles us, it's that which comes out. And if there's something coming out of your mouth that is defiling or making division or just causing a problem in your family maybe, then just stop it. Don't allow it anymore. It is good neither to eat meat or drink wine or do anything which your brother stumbles or is offended, or is made weak. Build up. Edification. That's what it's all about. That's what we've been studying the last couple of weeks. Here it is, practically applied for us here. We have the opportunity today to live for His glory, to live for His love. We have that opportunity today. We can end all the things that are in our life that are bad and just start walking in righteousness and receive the peace and the joy that God is offering to us. Do you have faith? Have it to yourselves before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he who does not eat, eats from faith. For whatever is not from faith, it is sin. Another key issue there. If it's not from faith, it's from sin. Walk in faith. Be children of faith. Walk in the light. We then who are strong in chapter 15, verse 1, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. It's better that you suffer and help those who are weak than just building yourself up. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. Helping out a neighbor. Go and help somebody out. Oh, but I don't want to give up my Saturdays, man. Saturdays are for me. Well, I don't want to take off of work. You know, I'm saving that time for vacation. That's fine, but a couple hours. You see, it's not about ourselves. It's about building up, being there for others. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through our patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may, with one mind and with one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to live for His glory? You want to live for His love? There it is in a nutshell, right there. All that we just read, right there. We talk about freedom in this country as we're going to be celebrating Independence Day. And freedom comes with a cost. Nobody can say they love war, but there's war that happens in the pursuit of freedom. You can look through your history book and you'll see all the different wars and the different issues that come up, and it's just a part of life. You can look through the Bible where wars took place. I had the opportunity this week, one of the jobs I was working at, go to a man's house, and there's an older guy. Great shape for an old guy. He was 82 years old. He was tall and slim and, you know, still had muscle definition and just carried himself well, even though he had had a stroke 5 years ago. And he had trouble talking, and I would be great, he said, if it wasn't for that stroke. You know, he takes care of himself. And then as I was working there and talking to him, I noticed on his license plate, you know, like where people have vanity plates and such, and it said that he was a paratrooper. He was a WW2 veteran. And wow, you know, my uncle was a paratrooper, and I just thought, wow, this guy is a hero. This guy's a soldier. This guy endured the battles unto this point so that I can be free and preach God's word. What a man. I was in awe, you know, and I purposed in my heart, I stayed talking to him, and, you know, I wanted to do such a good job for him. And I showed him everything I did so he'd be pleased, and that as long as he was happy with it. And he was. I took that extra effort, you know, because I just respected him instantly. And then as I spoke to him, he said, thank you. He said, you know, for doing such a good job. And I said, no, thank you for allowing me to do the work for you. But more importantly than that, I want to take the time, I said, to thank you for your dedication in serving this country so that I might be free, I told him. I thank you, I said. And he just got like all teary-eyed, you know, and just kind of didn't know what to say, and he just held on. Edification. How can we do that to someone we don't even know, but yet we won't do it in the body of Christ? How can we won't hold people up when they're going through a hard time and say, I'm bearing with you because I know you're going through a hard time. I'm here to help you. How can I help? Why don't we reach out to one another and help fix a house that's falling apart, that's dilapidated for one reason or another? Why don't we reach out to the body and say, thank you for being a warrior in Christ's army and the battles that you fight, you're my hero. Why? We have opportunity. As we spoke of earlier, God gives us the opportunity. You have it in your midst today. Step out in it. Freedom. Freedom comes with a cost, any kind of freedom. And it comes with rules and regulations. We know that. But we're free. We're free in this country. The title of the message, Let God's Freedom Ring. We have freedom in this country. We have freedom in Christ. Let's not use it to look down our nose at anyone. But let's restore and help one another. Build up the body of Christ. Those warriors. So many times we talk about our servanthood. And we're servants and we're happy to serve. But when it comes to war, oh, no. I become a tree hugger, a spiritual tree hugger. So no, no, no war. It's part of it, don't you understand? It's not a pretty part, but you're in a war. There's things that come against you spiritually that you need to deal with a helmet of salvation, to guard your mind from the thoughts that are going to enter as the war rages. The Bible says that the enemy is throwing thoughts into your mind, some of which aren't even true. They're lies from the deceiver, the father of lies. So you put your helmet of salvation on. You guard your mind. You put your breastplate of righteousness on to guard your heart and your emotions so you don't spew off at a moment's notice when the battle gets heavy and you start slandering and cutting and, oh my gosh, you know, all these things spew out. Guarding your emotions. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So when there's a spiritual battle, you can discern things. Rightfully dividing the Word of God, the Bible says in Timothy chapter 1. To see, Lord God, I'm in a spiritual warfare. Is this a true thing or is this a false thing? You show me, God. I'll wait on you. That's what the Word of God says. I'll be patient in you. I'll stand and I'll wait. The Word of God, you fall back on it not to cut someone else up, but to discern what's right and what's wrong. That's what the sword of the Spirit is for. You have your shield of faith, upholding faith, as we read just a minute ago. For whatever is not of faith is sin. We have our shield of faith so that we can block all the fiery darts of the enemy. So we can walk in faith and protection. It's there to guard us so that we won't fall into the deception or the lies of the enemy. Are our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Christ so that at a moment's notice as we're walking in righteousness, we're able to see that one who needs a word or that one who needs salvation and you're able to speak forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. You're a warrior. Conduct yourself as a warrior. How many warriors have lost their life because they're in the trenches joking around and talking and all this stuff, or maybe even drinking or drugging, and they're in there, it happens. And all of a sudden their life is gone because they weren't prepared. They weren't conducting themselves as warriors. There's times where we pull back from the battle and where there's a time of rest and we can do all those things. But when you're in a battle, there's a time where you need to be shod and with the preparation of the gospel. You need to be aware of the battle that's around you, or else how are you going to protect that which is so precious, your salvation? And the edifying of others. It's important to conduct ourselves as such. We conduct ourselves in a certain way in certain arenas. That's what I'm trying to say. You're warriors. Conduct yourselves as such when you're in the battle. We have freedom. In Christ, we have freedom from death. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 11, verse 1. And I'm going to do a lot of reading. Bear with me. We have freedom from death. As it says in verse 1 of chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Lazarus, you're probably more familiar with the name Eleazar in the Old Testament. It's God is my help. Well, Lazarus is that name in the New Testament in Greek. Lazarus, Eleazar, it's one and the same, so to speak. So here's Lazarus who was sick. His namesake is God is my help. God's my help. That's all, what I'm all about. That's what my name is, Lazarus would say. Here's a man who, his whole namesake is God is my help, but he's sick. Well, how can he be sick, you know? I could look down my spiritual nose and say, man, you got to get healed. Come on, buddy, aren't you praying? You need to pray more. You need to fast. You need to do all this. You need to get yourself well. Go to the Lord. And all those things are right, but it's in the connotation or the context that you say it. Are we edifying and encouraging them to pray, or are we looking down at them? Man, come on, get better. God is my help. You said God is your help. That's your name. You should be. Maybe you're not crying out to the Lord. You see how we can let our freedom become someone else's walls, if you will, or imprison them. And it was Mary who anointed, Mary the worshiper, who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, and whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters went to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Not only is he, God is my help, Jesus loves him. Notice it's Jesus' love for him, not his love for Jesus. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. What? What do you mean my sickness is for the glory of God? You mean I'm sick? Because God wants me to be sick. I don't understand. What's going on here? Let's wait and see. That the Son of God may be glorified through it. I always understood that here, but I really understand it here ever since I got healed from my back. I understood. I saw how God used that to humble my prideful life So that my back was hurting so much I couldn't hardly stand it anymore, and I couldn't help but fall at his feet. Time after time after time, God taught me so much through that. And when he healed me, it was just humbling. I was like, who am I? Who am I, God, that you would choose to do that for? It's for God's glory. He knows when we're going to give him the full glory. He knows. He's waiting for a heart change. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. God delayed. He knew he was sick. He loved Lazarus. He knew God was Lazarus' help. He knew his sisters. He loved them all. But he delayed. Sometimes God has to delay, and I'm convinced it's for his glory and to teach us things. After this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again?" You see, our chief warrior, if you will, he's not afraid. He knows that if he goes through this land, you know, that could kill him. It doesn't scare him. You see how God builds up the mind of a warrior? Giving him opportunity to put that courage into faith. He says, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going through there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Why do I need to be afraid? I'm light. I can walk in the midst of darkness and proclaim the light. I'm not afraid. There's 12 hours in the day of light that I can do good. I'm going to do it." He says, because the light is not in him, that's why people stumble. We walk in the world and we stumble because the light's not in us. There's darkness all around us and we fall prey or privy to the things of the world or the darkness, if you will. And these things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Our friend, it said that it was Jesus' friend, but he says, "You're part of me. It's our friend. Let's go help him." Opportunity. It's there. Let's go help these people that need help. Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death. You see in the scripture, whenever you see the word that someone is asleep, it's because they've died a physical death, not the spiritual death. When they talk about death, it's spiritual. Everything is lost at that point. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead," is what he's trying to say. He sleeps. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." He's glad that he wasn't there to heal him, because he's going to do something even better. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. 4 days in the Jewish mindset, the spirit would hover over the body for 4 days. After 4 days, it was taken up. And he showed up at that time where there's the least amount of hope in this Jewish cultural mindset. There's no hope. His spirit, he'll never be raised from the dead. Now his spirit's gone. It only hangs out for 4 days, is what they believe. You see, God gives you opportunity to hope when there's no hope at all. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women and Martha and Mary to comfort them in concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met with him, and Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." There's faith in the present. Faith in the past, if you'd have been here, he would have been healed. Faith in the present, you're here now. You can still do a miracle. There's hope in her. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day, Lord. I understand that we will be raised up again." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." You see, Christ comes to us, we see in verse 15. He encourages us in verse 23. "Your brother will rise again." And in verse 25, he reminds us who he is. "I can do all things," he says. Anything. Whatever you're facing, the opportunity that God has laid at your feet right now or in your lap, God can work through it. If you would only allow Him to. Be obedient to His Word. And then in verse 28, and when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to Him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met Him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly, they went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet. Again, Mary, the worshiper, falling down at the feet of Christ in a situation where there is no hope at all. Fall down at His feet, Christian, and call out to Him when there's no hope left inside of you. "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews came with her weeping, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Jesus cares about you and the things you go through. He groaned, it says. And He said, "Where have you laid Him?" And they said to Him, "Lord, come and see," taking Him to the tomb. And Jesus wept. He groaned. He was troubled. He wept. The Jews said, "See how He loved Him." I often ask myself, did He weep for Lazarus? Why would He weep for Lazarus? Think about it. We weep when people die. I understand that. Why would He weep for Lazarus? He's about to do a miracle. He can bring him back to life right now. Why would He weep for him? I believe He wept for those who were hurting. Those who were going through a difficult time. He was there for them. He groaned in His spirit. He was troubled. He wept. He cries. He weeps for you as you go through the struggles of life. And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" And Jesus, again groaning in Himself, came to the tomb. This time I think He was groaning because of the unbelief. How come this man who could do all these miracles and He opened the eyes of some, why didn't He do it for others? Why didn't He do it for Lazarus? And God just groaning within. When we speak before we have understanding, when we speak out of turn and say, "Well, God, you know, I don't understand why I'm not getting ministered to here." And He groans because He's trying to work something in us by staying back. Then Jesus again was groaning, as we mentioned. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of Him who was dead, said to Him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for He has been dead 4 days," again the spirit being left. And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place, and the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His hands and His eyes and said, "Father, I thank You that You have heard Me." Notice, remember last week, the key was giving thanks. So many times we go before the Lord and give our petitions first. Give thanks for everything that you have in your life. And notice what Jesus does. He gives us an example there and He says, "Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. And I know that You always hear Me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that You sent Me." Open prayer encourages others. Don't be afraid to pray with others. Don't be afraid to be in the workplace and someone's going through something, you say, "I'll pray for you." Instead, say, "Let's pray right now. I have a God and I serve a God who can do wonders in your life. I don't know if He'll take away the situation in your life, but let's pray and see what His plan for you is." Open prayer encourages others. It comforts others. Now when He had said these things, He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped up with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." Amen. That should speak wonders in a Christian's heart. That when though you were once dead, bound by the sin and death that lives in this world, when Jesus called you out by name and said, "You're saved." When Jesus said that, you no longer had to be bound by the things of sin that would drag you down. You could be loosed from those things. And notice what He did. He sent others to loose them. You guys are the others. Those who God has placed in your midst, go and loosen them. Pray with them. In the workplace, at the house, wherever it may be, loosen those grave clothes, if you will. Set them free. God raised them up. Now you set them free. Loose them and let them go. Christ came to us. He comes to us, as we saw in this text. He encourages us in verse 23. He reminds us that He is the source of all power. Christ fills our pain, as we see He groaned. He wept. Christ takes away the stone. He removes those obstacles that are in our way, that separate us from Him. What was separating Lazarus from Christ? Death, the stone, if you will. God removes that in our life. He takes it away. Christ prays for us. And then He sets us free. And He uses others to do so. Those of you who have been walking in the Lord for a long time, you've seen that happen in your life. You've seen where God, as you got saved, sent people to you. And all of a sudden, someone's ministering to you in this area. And then another area. His concern is for you. We're celebrating freedom. Hang out with the fellowship, encourage one another, have fun. But we're also celebrating the freedom in Christ. That we're free to eat or not to eat, to observe the day or not to observe the day. It doesn't matter. But we're not free to cause one another to stumble. We're here to edify. We're free from sin. We're free from death.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we come before You. We see Your love and Your care. You never forget us. You love us. You care for us. Thank You so much for always remembering me, Lord. Lord Jesus, give us the strength we need to walk with You. Give us the wisdom that we need to stay walking with You. Give us the peace that surpasses anything I encounter in this world that would try to take my peace away. Jesus, I pray that You would give us the ability to endure. And we can't do it any other way except with You. But thank You. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, blessed week.